If you, who make less than $250,000 a year, which includes 98% of small business owners, you will not see your taxes increase one single dime. Increase one single dime.
That is a promise to you from the man who raised taxes on the middle class more than any other president in your lifetime. Welcome, I'm Dave. This is the Fair Tax Show. We do this on Saturday nights to bring you into the fold of the Fair Tax. If you're already in the fold, to teach you how to get active, how to get involved, how to make this thing happen. And if you're just already one of that group, just a little fellowship, a little get-together, a little support, so to speak. Because heaven knows that the current tax system has got to go. Now, if you've been following us, if you haven't been following us now, go back and catch up. Go to MissouriGrassrootsCoalition.org, click on the MGC radio page, find the Fair Tax Show, and listen to some of the past shows because they've been very good. They get kind of boring, and so go back and listen to them at your leisure because they're a little bit more tutorial than we're going to be from this point forward. This point forward, we're actually going to get in to the Fair Tax. We're actually going to talk about what it is, how we do it. We're going to field questions. We're going to shatter some of the myths about the Fair Tax, and it's going to be a little bit more interesting. Some of the past shows might have tended to get a little dry. We talked a lot about the history. We talked about where the income tax came from. We talked about how it is that the income tax was sold to you as a tax to spare the poor people, to that it was only going to be a tax on the wealthiest. We were told that our government aristocracy was kind of, I don't want to use the word warned because it was just really a foretelling of the fact that before a century was out, everyone would be taxed. We talked about how when that everyone got taxed time finally came, and it didn't take long. the government introduced a crafty little plan called withholding that before, when only the rich were taxed, they would just sit down at the end of the year and write a check to pay their tax bill. But when it came to taxing you and me out there working in the grocery stores and the dry cleaners and the manufacturing plants, when it came to taxing us, the government came up with a crafty plan called withholding. And so now they withhold the tax from you, and the chances are great that 99% of Americans don't even know how much tax, direct income tax, they pay. You ask, we talked about the big question. You know, you go to an American and you ask them how much money they make, and you're going to get, oh, I take home $640 a week, or I net. You ask them how much tax they pay, and they say, well, I don't pay anything. I get $285 back every year. I got $1,440 back last year. I didn't pay anything. So the average American doesn't even realize how much direct federal tax they're paying. They either think they don't pay any, they think they pay less than they do. They also don't have any idea how much money they're making. And that is all a function of this crafty little plan called withholding that the federal government had to put in place in order to be able to take the exorbitant tax that the wealthy were already paying and channel it down to even the poorest Americans. Then we went on and we talked about some of the other costs of the income tax, cost to you and cost to me, other than the amount of money that they hold out of our paycheck, other than the atrocious amounts of money that we channel directly into Washington, D.C. every year. And those included the cost of compliance, not only directly to you. You do pay a cost of compliance. You spend some hours a year, even if you use an accountant, getting crap ready, putting stuff in boxes, keeping ledgers, keeping track of your mileage, whatever it is. Time is money, so there's a cost there. You also have a cost involved if you pay someone to do it or if you buy a piece of software. And then you have a cost of compliance. You make some decisions. Regardless of how much money you make some decisions, whether it's to work overtime or not, whether it's to put money in a 401k or not, whether it's to take part in the cafeteria plan or not. You make some of these decisions based on tax implications. Sometimes they're not the wisest decisions. Sometimes there's a lot better things you can do with your money right now than put it in a 401k or a government-protected plan. But you do it anyway because of the tax implications. And those are all direct costs to you of the income tax, of the current tax code, of the current tax system. And then we talked about the indirect costs to you of the income tax system. We talked about the fact that 22%, the fact that 22% of every retail or service purchase you make is tax, federal tax passed on to you. We went for on and on and on for a long time explaining with example after example after example after example how when the government taxes a company, that company has nowhere to generate the cash to pay that tax than in what you push across the counter to buy their product. And then it's not just the company that makes the product. The company that makes the packaging for the product gets taxed, and they pass that tax on to the manufacturer of the product who puts that wrapper around whatever it is you buy, and that gets passed on to you. All of those costs along the way, the cost of the tax of the trucking company, the cost of the tax of the warehouse, the cost of the tax of the manufacturer, the cost of the tax of everything that went into the manufacturing process, all the corporations, all the companies that made those products, the farmers and the seeds, and they all get taxed. And all of that tax amounts to 22 cents of every dollar you spend. So sit down and figure out not only how much tax you pay a year, but how many dollars you spend a year. And that's all, and take 22 cents of every one of those dollars, and that's all federal income tax. And then we spent a week talking about putting all of these things together and talking about these things as the primary, if not only reason, why these quote-unquote millionaires and billionaires to the tune of $800,000 a year are fleeing the climes of the United States of America and looking for friendlier environments and taking their money with them. We talked about this, the cost of compliance, the cost of the tax, the cost of the business decisions made resulting from tax implications. We talked about all those things as the reason, the primary, if not sole reason, why corporations with their billions, even trillions of dollars, are fleeing the United States to go to safer places to do business, friendlier places to do business. And so all of that led up to tonight and the upcoming weeks. And that is, what do we do about this? Well, I had a long discussion. It lasted almost a week with a very, very good friend of mine who is way on the wrong track with this thing. And before we can even start, here's a couple of things you've got to do. You've got to sit down and ask yourself, how much money do I make? How much money does my neighbor make? How much money does Donald Trump make? How much money does Warren Buffett make? Why do I even know how much money they make? Why does it even matter to me how much money Bill Gates makes? And it's because you were born into, you were educated into, and the more education you have at a liberal college, the more you are inundated with, even if you come away from there with a conservative attitude, the more you are inundated with, yes, the Marxist philosophy of class. Now, I'm telling you, we throw the word wealth envy around a lot, and it's become almost a meaningless metaphor because of the way we use it. But the real fact of the matter is that most Americans aren't openly jealous of Bill Gates and Warren Buffett. But ingrained in them is some sort of idea that there is a caste system in this country that separates them from us. Because we have created, and we've created basically through generations of income taxed people and ingrained knowledge of where they stand in the quote-unquote class ladder. You've got to escape that, because what happens when you just can't pull yourself away from this class thing, this what I've got and what you've got, when you just can't pull yourself away from this, What you create is a situation where you justify the morality of stealing money from one person and giving it to another person. Now listen, the comeback to this is always the same. Tax is an evil thing. Tax in and of itself is stealing. And that is true. It is, however, a necessary evil. The government needs some money. Okay? So we reach into everyone's pocket and we steal some money by force, by force, and we use it to fund the government. But somewhere along the line, and it is somewhere along the line of the embarkation of the income tax system, we decided that it was not only moral to steal from people to pay to defend the country, or to steal from people to pay the salaries of congressmen, or to steal from people to pay for the Coast Guard. We decided that it was somehow moral to steal from people to help alleviate this caste system that we used the income tax to create in our own minds. Remember, we talked in the first show about how when the income tax was introduced, it was introduced as a tax on the wealthy. Well, that's not necessary. That's not how it was introduced. It was introduced as an income tax on everyone. There was such a violent upheaval at the thought of this that Congress went back to work and they decided that they would just make it a tax on the wealthy. And so now the progressive mantra is tax the wealthy to eliminate poverty in our country. Fair share, that's the word. Fair share. Well, unless we can escape from the jealousy, yes, and it is, that we have about the fact that someone has more than us, we can't come up with a good definition of fair. It certainly is not fair that Warren Buffett pays more tax as a percent of anything than me. It is not fair that the owner of the company where I work pays more tax as a percent of anything than me. What we've got to do is we've got to find a flat tax. We've got to find a tax that's fair, where everyone pays relative to what's being taxed, the same thing. And this is where you're going to get in trouble if you don't get it. When you start talking to one of these people who's religiously dedicated to everything in society being tied to income or to how much wealth someone has. Now, you've got to be able to look into this person and say, what causes this? Is this isn't a meanness. What causes this is the human nature. Everyone, this is the human nature. I don't care how progressive you are. I don't care how liberal and holy you think you are. You want more. Human beings want more. A human being that doesn't want more has a mental problem somewhere, because it is a driving force of being a living human that you want more. You want a raise. You want a promotion. You want your own company. You want more. The guy standing out in Occupy Wall Street in his with his own urine running down his leg and screaming and screaming about the evil banker is screaming what? I want more. I want more. The most, Michael Moore wants more. Al Gore wants more. Listen, listen. You want to talk about want more. Look at these progressive gangsters. Nancy Pelosi, Reed, Obama. Look at these progressive gangsters. What one thing do they have in common about their march to get everyone to pay their fair share? They've made a hell of a lot of money out of it. Without fail, every one of them has made a hell of a lot of money selling this fair share to the rest of the sheeples. And what's the first thing they do with that money? They find a way to shelter it from tax. They find a way to use their own tax code while they're whining and moaning about people paying their fair share, while they're selling you a bill of goods on this fair share shit, they're finding ways to use this tax code to shelter their income from taxes. It's a model that cannot fail to fail. It's a model that will always, always end up with those Stalins and Lenins and Engelses and Marxes and Obamas and Pelosis and Reeds who sell the fair share package to the sheeples, being the ones on top, in power, and with all the money. That is the failure that is built into a system that begins by identifying class and then commences to tax or to take or to redistribute based on income. The pastors of that religion will always end up with all the money and all the power. So what you have to do is you have to take a deep breath. You have to stop for a minute. And you have to say, when it comes time to live in the same world with all these other people, what does it matter to me in the end what they have or don't have? Seriously now, in my day-to-day life, when I get up in the morning and I go to work and I leave work and I come home and I put food on my family's table, what does it matter to me at the end of that day what Bill Gates has or doesn't have? what my next door neighbor has or doesn't have. And here we go. Here we go. We're going to diverge just a little bit right here. Because you know what? I wish I'd brought the soundbite along, but I didn't. But try to flash back to President Obama's "You didn't build that." What was the most offensive thing about that speech? I remember saying this that very day. I wrote a blog about this that very day. It wasn't "you didn't build this." It was what came just before that. It was, "if you are successful, you didn't build that." Don't you see how far we've come with this already in just six generations of taxing income? Don't you see how far we've come with this already? My grandfather, and yea, even my father, worked 40 hours a week, busted their asses, came home, put food on the table, raised a family, had successful children, had a good, successful marriage, had a home. They were successful. They died with little more than they started with. But from day one, they lived their life very comfortable with the human nature of "I want more." Very comfortable with what comes so naturally to every human being, "I want more." Now, somewhere along the line, we took those people, and by dividing into class, we said, they weren't so successful after all, were they? Well, I'm going to tell you something. There is nothing more successful in this world today than a single mother who goes to work, earns $400 a week, adequately feeds her two children, educates them, clothes them, struggles for them, driven daily by the innate drive of "I want more," who has two successful children grow up and become successful adults, who gauge their own success by their life and their family and their children, and not by comparing themselves to someone who's in a little better state. Now, that's the lead-off sermon here, because to really get off on the fair tax, you've got to understand that nothing about the way the government steals money from people ought to have anything to do with how much people've got. Nothing in your life, nothing in your success ought to have anything to do with how much anyone else has or hasn't got. When you get to that point, when you accept that point, either internally or just as a matter of for this argument, then we can talk about how we pay for the government without income ever even being mentioned. Because no tax structure is fair that considers income. Not only that, but a tax that considers income or wealth or what you have in the bank or what you have in the way of property requires you to what? Tell the government, and therefore the rest of the damn world, what you've got. It's not the government's damn business what your income is. It's not the government's business how many houses you've got. It's no one in the government's business whether you have one or 15 cars. It's no one in the government's business whether you have 30 or 3,000 cows. And why does the government get away with hoarding away information about you that is none of anyone's business is because we've divided the world into classes so we can tax people their fair share. And there's nothing fair about it. When we come back, we're going to actually move into what is fair. We're going to take a little break. We'll be back on the flip side.
So 5% appear too small. Be thankful I don't take it all.
If you make under $250,000, you will not see your taxes increased by a single dime.
It specifically said that it is not constitutional under the Commerce Clause. They said it is constitutional under the tax. And as to the question about raising taxes for the middle class, if I may, sir, let's just look at the record. The nonpartisan Congressional Budget Office estimates that in 2016, 4 million Americans will pay the mandate penalty or tax. 75% of those people will make less than $120,000 a year. And the CBO says between 2012 and 2021, those folks will pay $27 billion in additional taxes.
Have you joined Missouri Grassroots Coalition yet? The results of the 2012 election proved that the grassroots conservatives need to work harder to make their voices heard in government. The best way for Missouri conservatives to make their voices heard is to join together within the Missouri Grassroots Coalition Network and show our elected that we are a strong, unified, conservative voice in Missouri. Go to the website, MissouriGrassrootsCoalition.org, and click on the Join tab. Give us your contact information so that we can keep you updated on the latest developments in Jefferson City and beyond. Also, sign up for Grassfire Alerts so that you can get immediate notifications when we need to call grassroots conservatives together in action. Use the MGC network to help your grassroots organization speak with a louder voice combined with grassroots groups across the state. Together, we can strengthen the conservative voice in Missouri.
You wrote the book with a movie in mind. An angel face with a criminal sight. Celebrated as a rebel kind.
How can you talk if you haven't got a brain?
Some people without brains do an awful lot of talking.
I've got a feeling that the tide is turning.
Is life so dear or peace so sweet as to be purchased at the price of chains and slavery? Forbid it, Almighty God. I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty or give me death.
Okay, here we are. We're back. So there is no income now. There is no thought or knowledge of what anyone else is making, and we've got a government that we have to fund. Let's start the discussion by recognizing that no one more than me believes that the government spends too damn much money. Okay, no one more than me thinks that government spending needs to be reduced to about one quarter to one tenth of what it is right now. But that's a different argument. That's a different argument. You bring me a tax plan to cut this guy's tax and raise this guy's tax. You bring me a tax plan to introduce a fair tax. You better come to me with numbers that say, if I could introduce this plan tomorrow, this is what it would cost every American. Tomorrow. Paying the bills. Tomorrow. As we reduce the size of government, a different battle that we need to fight, a battle that we need to win for our very survival, just like this one. Then we can each sit down with our proposals and we can reduce the amount of tax we need to collect in our various proposals. And we can then sit down and reevaluate the fairness of your proposal against the fairness of the fair tax. But understand, before we start, that the fight about how much money the government spends is a different fight than how we collect revenue. And the safest and fairest way to collect revenue is a sales tax on everything and everybody. Now, just think for a minute. We're talking about a sales tax, just like the one that if you're in 56 of or 46, there's my Obama moment. If you're in 44 of the 50 states, you pay when you go to the store anyway. You get a cash register receipt. There it is. It's totally transparent tax. You know exactly how much tax you paid on what you bought, because right there it is at the bottom. Total XYZ tax ABC and your total after tax. What if we could collect a federal tax? What if we could totally fund the federal government? What if we could do away with Social Security tax? We could do away with the Medicare tax. We could do away with the payroll tax. We could do away with the income tax deduction from your paycheck. You could go to work for 40 hours a week for $10 an hour. You come home with a check for $400. How does that sound? And then when you put money in the bank, there's you're putting untaxed money in the bank. I mean, if you're going, just think about it this way. You're going to work now for 40 hours a week for $10 an hour. You're bringing home $328. Just think, if you took that $72 and put it in the bank, that is the effect of you saving money that hasn't been taxed. Right now, if you go and put $20 every paycheck in the bank, you are putting 20 taxed dollars in the bank. So before your government got a hold of that $20 that you just saved, it was $24. How do you like that? Now, let's take that same scenario, and now you can put $24 a week in the bank. Because why? Because you're bringing home all your money. None of your money is taxed at the barrel head. None of your money is taxed at the paycheck. You bring home all your money. And then, after you've put some money in the bank that never gets taxed until you take it out of the bank and spend it, after you've put some money in your retirement fund, which never gets taxed, after you put some money in your kids' college fund, then you go out and you buy some things. And when you buy some things, then you pay some tax. You decide what you want to buy. You decide when you want to buy it. You, in essence, decide when to pay your tax and how much. That is, I can eat peanut butter and jelly sandwiches and pay less tax, or I can eat filet mignon and pay more tax. It really is that simple. I can drive a Kia and spend less tax, or I can drive a Lexus and pay more tax. It's a tax on consumption. And as such, regardless of what percent the tax is, it is a flat tax. It is not a regressive tax. You're going to hear that from people. That's going to be the first argument that the income tax religion sends your way. This is a regressive tax. Why is it regressive? They cannot get away from class. They cannot get away from the Marxist philosophy that it matters what class you are. And so, by tying I was reading a chat question here, which we'll get to in just a minute. By tying this tax to income, they can draw a graph that makes it look regressive. But that's not the mathematical or the economics definition of regressive. It is the class warfare definition from the income religion people of regressive tax. It is not a definition of regressive. Regressive means if you take a graph and you plot an x-axis of what's being considered and a y-axis of what the consideration is, you find a regressive curve, a progressive curve, or a flat curve. Now, if your religion is income and class, then you draw a tax line with income down one axis and tax down the other axis. If your base is consumption and your consideration is tax, you draw an axis with consumption down one line and tax on the other line. And yes, you do find that if you spend $150 million, that you pay more tax. But when you plop the tax rate, regardless of what you spend, the tax is flat. It's that simple. Okay, here's the question from the chat line. What is my yearly income? None of your business, any more than what Bill Gates' yearly income is any of your business. What your income is none of my business. Why would you want to put money in a bank, says one person. Well, okay, yeah, I agree. Bad example, but it's just an example for people in everyday life. Because people do put money in the bank. People on food stamps pay tax for their food. They should. They should be paying. People on food stamps should be, just for an aside, should be paying tax for their food right now. Do you have a clue how much money your state, I don't know what state you live in, questioner, do you have any idea how much money your state loses per year because the federal government does not allow them to tax food stamp sales? So, the fair tax is a flat tax based on the consumption of new products. There is no fair tax, no consumption tax on used products. Everything is taxed once and only once. So, if you buy a used car, that car's been taxed. If you buy a used home, that home's been taxed. If you buy used clothes, that clothing, don't buy used food, please. So everything is taxed once and only once. So if you buy used goods, no tax. If you buy new goods, yes, tax. Now, how can we collect how can we eliminate the estate tax? How can we eliminate the capital gains tax? How can we eliminate the Social Security tax? How can we eliminate the Medicare tax? How can we eliminate the income tax and tax consumption and get the same amount of money? Because the fair tax, when it's introduced at a 23% rate, is revenue neutral. That means if the fair tax goes into effect tonight when we turn this show off, tomorrow the federal government will get just as much money without the income tax, without the estate tax, without the capital gains tax, without the alternative minimum tax, without the wealth, without the Medicare tax, and without the Social Security tax as it's getting today. Well, talk about tax base. Okay? How many people are making income today that they're not paying tax and paying no tax, no tax, no tax anywhere along the line to the federal government? Well, you've got your obvious answers. You've got your drug lords. You've got your car thieves. You've got your art thieves. You've got your prostitutes. You've got your pimps. All making money hand over fist. Some prostitutes a little bit more than others, I'm sure. And not paying any tax at all. Then you've got your little less obvious examples. You've got your illegal aliens out there laying bricks and picking Brussels sprouts. You've got your illegal workers who probably are American citizens, the waitress whose boss doesn't make her declare tips or pay taxes on it, or the bricklayer or anybody, barber or anybody who just works in cash and just never declares the cash, never pays any tax. And then you've got tourists who come to this country, buy the hundreds of millions every year, and do not contribute to the federal government. You've got all of these people with one thing in common, other than the fact that they all work for money and don't pay a red cent in tax. And that is, they buy shit. They all buy stuff. They all consume things. Now, suddenly you've got tens of millions of Americans who never paid a dime of tax in their life, paying exactly the same tax as you. So yeah, we can easily, with the 23% federal sales tax, make exactly the same amount of money next year as we're making this year. The federal government can enjoy the same revenue as they did this year. But let's go a step further. There's something else about the fair tax that is going to increase the tax base. There's something aside from all of this that's going to increase the tax base. There's something that's going to explode the number of people in this country who are buying things and therefore paying taxes when we come back.
Stop. Stop. Will you stop, Dave? Will you stop, Dave? Stop, Dave. I'm afraid.
Tax on cigarettes by 94 cents per pack.
You make under $250,000, you will not see your taxes increased by a single dime.
'Cause I'm the tax man. Yeah, I'm the tax man.
You better not cry. You better not pout. I'm telling you why.
No matter what time of year it is, it's never too early to start preparing for the holidays. And here at Missouri Grassroots Coalition, we're thinking of Christmas now. Why? Because we've set an ambitious goal for ourselves to raise $2,000. That's right, we want to raise $2,000 in 2013 to help some Missouri families who may be struggling in this Obama economy to provide a magical Christmas morning for their children. Last year, in 2012, Missouri Grassroots Coalition touched the lives of 15 families because of the generosity of conservatives across the state who provided us with the means to pay off their layaway accounts on Christmas Eve. This year, we'd like to be able to help twice that number of families, and we're asking you to help us with that goal. Please go to MissouriGrassrootsCoalition.org and click on the Secret Santa tab. All the details are there for you to send us what you can by PayPal, check, or money order. We want to thank all who contributed last year for their generosity and hope that you will all help us continue to prove that charitable giving works best in a constitutional republic.
They told me that you had gone totally insane and that your methods were unsound. Are my methods unsound? I don't see any method at all.
We're back. Okay, so now what you've done is you've maintained you've changed the entire way we collect taxes. You've completely eliminated any thought of income, and you've begun taxing at a 23% rate everything that people buy. Everything new that people buy, and you've increased your tax base by everyone who currently is making money and not paying taxes. But we're gonna do better than that because we are taxing consumption and not income. We are eliminating completely the corporate income slash profit tax. There is, and we're slashing it fairly because we're fair. We're slashing it on GE to zero, and we're slashing it on mom and pop to zero. We're slashing it on Ford Motor Company to zero, and we're slashing it on Joe eBay sales to zero. Zero tax on any profit that a company makes by selling their retail good or service. Now, don't get excited if you're an income taxer. If you're part of this sect that believes everything is about how much someone else has, don't get excited, because corporations are going to be exempted from paying any consumption tax on the things they buy that are part of their end product. So if you build little tables to set flowers on by the side of the couch, little round tables that just hold a flower vase, you're not going to pay a consumption tax when you buy wood or thinner or lacquer. You're not going to pay a consumption tax when you buy labor. You're not going to pay a consumption tax when you buy service to truck that product to the warehouse. But you don't get to buy a Learjet in the corporate name and not pay income tax or pay sales tax on it. You pay sales tax when you buy desks and chairs. You pay sales tax when you buy Learjets and Mercedes Benzes. So don't throw in the corporate welfare thing, because that's not part of it. But no business pays tax on the items that go into their product. And why is that? That is because there's no tax to the consumer, to the person who buys the product, other than the direct and visible 23% tax. If we start taxing the wood that goes into that table, we still get the pass-down tax that people are living with now to the tune of what? 22%. So the consumer is going to come in, he's going to pay a completely visible tax of 23% on that table, but he's not going to pay the tax that he paid yesterday of 22%, that was the tax on the wood and the tax on the thinner, the tax on the nails and the tax on the labor, the tax on the trucker, the tax on the warehouse. So he's not going to pay that 22%. Instead, he is going to pay a completely, totally visible 23% consumption tax. Now, how does that raise the tax base? You know, we talked about increasing the tax base by all these illegals, and we talked about increasing the tax base by all these people who are working under the table now. How is the fact that these companies aren't paying any tax on labor? They're not paying any tax on the products that go into their goods and services, the tax which they pass on to you. They're not paying any tax on their profits. How is that going to increase the tax base? Well, it's going to put people to work immediately. Immediately, companies now, not burdened with the tax on their profits, not burdened with the cost of complying with a tax code, not burdened with having to make business decisions based on the tax implications, are going to do what with their money? They're going to increase, they're going to hire more people, and they're going to build more stuff. Innovation is going to flourish again. It's not going to be a penalty to you now to invent something new, to market something new, to grab that market share. You're not going to be penalized for growing. It's not a fairy tale. It is going to happen that way. And all you have to do to see that it's going to happen that way is look at any number of states that have eliminated income and corporate tax to rely solely on a consumption tax. And now, in the last 2 years, any number of countries that have done this. Business is flocking to Bolivia. Millionaires are flocking to Bolivia. There was a survey done of 100 foreign, non-United States corporations, not companies that had fled the U.S. to go to other companies, businesses that were from and had their roots in other countries, 100 of them. 60% of those businesses, when asked, what would you do if the United States of America dumped corporate profits tax and adopted the fair tax, and 60% of the 100 said, we would relocate to the United States of America. Well, hell yeah! Go figure. Why are companies leaving here? We have the highest corporate tax rate in the world. The highest. We penalize successful companies more than anyone in the world. 60% of companies with their roots on foreign soil said they would come to the United States if we adopted the fair tax. They would hire people here. They would buy things here. They would work here. They would export things from here. So it's not a fairy tale, and it's not a myth that the corporate economy in the United States of America would explode the day after you eliminate the income tax, eliminate the cost of compliance, eliminate the need to make business decisions based on tax implications, and let them grow and flourish. Let them innovate and hire. Companies not only would grow here, companies would come here. People who want work will work, and when people work, they buy shit. Several years ago, the state of Tennessee, next door to Missouri. I'm from Missouri. If you're listening from outside the state, Missouri Grassroots Coalition Radio should have given it away. But for some of you who who are paying attention to what we're saying, you might not have even noticed that. Tennessee eliminated corporate tax, eliminated state income tax, and went solely with a consumption tax. Now, look at the numbers. Tennessee has a lower median income than the state of Missouri by almost $2,000 a year. But they are rated number one by both Money Magazine and Family General Magazine for cost of living. So the lifestyle in that state is better than it is in any other state in the country, because business is thriving, business is coming there, business is growing there. And that's business that is still hampered by federal income tax. So it's time to move away from how much do you make. It's time to move away from how much have you got. And it's time to tax people fairly and evenly on what they buy. So now we're gonna step back for a moment, and we're gonna look at everything we've talked about tonight so far. And there's a lot more coming in the weeks to come. There's a lot of intricacies here. There's a lot of myths to be busted. But let's start with myth buster number one. Ted Cruz, a darling of the conservatives, a darling of the Republicans, has jumped on this flat tax. And he's making the flat tax sound like a way to get rid of the IRS. He's making the flat tax sound like it's fair. And what is the flat tax all about? Well, what is the flat? If you're a flat taxer, if you're part of the flat tax regime, if you're part of the Ted Cruz posse, you call me and let me know what the flat tax does to increase the tax base. Tell me what the flat tax rates have to be in order for it to be revenue neutral if introduced tomorrow. And is it a flat tax? Is it a flat tax? I mean, do I pay the same tax rate as Warren Buffett? Is it really a flat tax? And do corporations pay a flat tax? Is there a corporate tax? Is there a tax on corporate profits? Have you done a study? Have you done a survey to see how many foreign corporations will come to the United States if we introduce a flat tax tomorrow, so that Joe Internet Sales pays exactly the same rate as General Electric? Or maybe that's not a flat tax. Maybe that's not flat, really flat. Maybe the corporate side is more progressive. If you're a flat taxer, call me up and let me know how you match what I've been talking about with squeezing money out of illegals, people who get paid under the table. Oh, I see. So what kind of enforcement mechanism are you going to use? How is it you're eliminating the IRS? You still got to know what people's income is. You still got to tax as a function of income. You've got to know what everyone in the country makes. You've got to levy that requirement on employers. You've got to find all these tax cheats who are getting paid under the table, who are making money for selling drugs. You got to find all these illegal aliens to try to squeeze some money out of them. You haven't done anything to get money out of the tourists who travel through here by the hundreds of millions a day, spending all kinds of money. What is your tax rate? How flat is your tax? How big is your enforcement structure? Just don't call it the IRS? Is that how you get rid of the IRS? A sewer by any other name stinks as bad. Call me up. Call me up, Ted Cruz. Call us up. Come on. Let us know how a flat tax is one dime better than what we've got right now. Oh, wait. There's this other thing going on. It's reduce or eliminate all sales tax and cut tax for everybody making $100,000 a year. Let me know what that tax rate is if it goes into effect tomorrow. Let me know what your revenue neutral tax rate is under that system. Can you do that? Let me know what you do under that system to squeeze a little money out of the dope dealer that's certainly making more than $100,000 a year. Let me know what you're doing to squeeze money out of the car thief or the illegal immigrant. Let me know what you're doing there. Let me know how you've increased the tax base. Oh, you haven't? No, you've actually decreased the tax base? Okay, well then let me know what the rate is. What are you doing for corporations? Is any corporation that makes under $100,000 a year, do you know how many that's going to turn into? When they take their money and send it overseas, how many businesses with a tax structure like that are you going to attract to the shores of the United States of America? How many businesses with a tax structure like that are you going to keep from moving overseas? How many millionaires and billionaires of the 800,000 a year that are moving overseas are you going to keep? How many American dollars hiding overseas by the tens of trillions are you going to bring back home with that tax system? Huh? And what about corporations? What about that? And what about what kind of enforcement mechanism do you need? How do you know that I didn't make 10? How? Oh, my business. The guy I work for must have to, aside from paying his own income tax, because he makes a little bit more than $100,000 a year, aside from paying his own corporate income tax and all the cost of lawyers to try to keep him from paying corporate income tax and all the cost of lawyers to lobby Washington, D.C. so he doesn't have to pay as much corporate income tax and all the cost of him tracking everything that he's doing and making decisions based on tax implications, aside from all those costs, he's still got to keep track of the income of everyone who works for him, doesn't he? He's still got to have an accounting department. How are you going to enforce all that at the federal level? What are you doing to decrease the amount of intrusion the federal government has into me, into my life, into how much money I make? Oh, yeah, you eliminate the IRS, all right. But just by changing its name, you're just like Cruz. I mean, all you've done is change its name. It's still a sewer. The fair tax can be managed in Washington, D.C., by 500 people. The tax collection apparatus is in place. The tax can be collected for not one dime more than state sales taxes are being collected today. The tax collection costs are a pittance. The IRS has 900,000 direct and indirect employees. If you're on the fair tax wagon, expect a fight from these 900,000 people. We're not talking about just tax auditors and the lady who answers the phone and says, I'm sorry, I can't help you. We're not just talking about the computer programmers at the Internal Revenue Service. We're talking about people who write software. We're talking about tax accountants. We're talking about tax attorneys. We're talking about all the people who indirectly work for the IRS, who indirectly work because of the IRS. It's a multi-trillion dollar a year industry working in or because of the IRS. Expect a fight from them. You would think that the big corporations would jump all over this. They won't. Expect a fight from them. Why? Because they can use the current tax code to avoid any liabilities and use the current tax code to penalize their rivals by seeking advantage. Expect a fight from them. Expect a fight from your senator and your representative, because for Pauls in Washington, D.C., the income tax is not about revenue. Revenue for them. The income tax is about power. That's right. It's about, you give me and I'll give you. It's about, oh, how much money did you donate to my campaign? Oh, yeah, okay, you need us to what? To put a special tax on incandescent light bulbs because you're having a little trouble selling your curly light bulbs. Oh, no problem. I can take care of that. It's about, oh, let's see. Yeah, I see your donation there. Let's see. We could write a tax exemption into the code for companies that use green smocks for their people and buy energy from companies that we've designated as green. Yeah, we can put that exemption in there. How much do you need? How much is your donation next year? Okay, yeah, easy done. That's what the tax code is about for your senator and your representative. That's what the tax code is about for Roy Blunt and Claire McCaskill. Monsanto? Oh, yeah. Thanks for the check. What you need? Oh, easy. Yeah, we can do that. I can push that through. Oh, yeah. Hell. Yeah, we're on a big green push up here. I can push that through easy. It's not green? I'll figure out a way to make it green. Just send the green. Just keep sending the green, and we'll make it green. That's what income tax is about in Washington, D.C. That's what income tax is about to GE. That's what income tax is about to Merck and Pfizer. And that's what income tax is about to you when you go into a store anywhere at any time and spend a dollar, 22 cents of which goes to the federal government in addition to the visible tax that you pay. That's what income tax is about. That's what living in a world obsessed with income is about.
And the government of the people, by the people, for the people, shall not perish from the earth.
Market capitalist Missouri business owners, show Missouri and the rest of the country what hardworking, successful entrepreneurship looks like by advertising your business on Missouri Grassroots Radio. Get your message out to liberty-loving citizens who want to support liberty-loving capitalists. Target this unique and widespread market with your business's unique and valuable products and services. Contact us at info@MissouriGrassrootsCoalition.org for details.
Calling it anything else. I mean, it is a tax, so and it's a fairly regressive tax. An awful lot of people in Iowa and in Oregon and Washington and Utah and places where we are, they're very poor people. They're going to pay a lot more money for electricity.
If you make under $250,000, you will not see your taxes increased by a single dime.
The emergency
system is now activated. All right, before we summarize and then go, I want to get in a couple of plugs here. On the 29th and 30th of August, at the Family Vision Library, 2020 Parkway Drive in St. Peter's, Lauren Spivak is coming back. He is the free market warrior. If you missed him last time, you definitely want to catch this one. It's new and exciting material, so if you caught him last time, you definitely want to catch this one. This guy is dynamite when it comes to knowing what the history of the free market is, what the theoretical workings of the free market are, how that theory translates into the reality of the world, and why it is that we need to unleash this free market and let it do its job. Now, that's what we're talking about here, isn't it, pretty much? Free market, getting rid of corporate income tax, getting rid of all the penalties that go along with being successful in the United States of America. We had a promo a little earlier about Secret Santa. Secret Santa is lagging a little bit this year. We've had such good success. I mean, wonderful success the last several years with Secret Santa. We set an ambitious goal this year. We drag the collection part out all year long so that we don't have to come to you begging for money in November and December when it's hardest for us to ask you and hardest for you to give. Go to MissouriGrassrootsCoalition.org. Click on the Secret Santa button in the top menu. Click on the PayPal button there and send us a couple of dollars to Missouri Grassroots Coalition Secret Santa. It is such a worthwhile cause. I talk about it at length almost every time I'm on. I always talk about it at length on my Monday night shows. And speaking of which, Mondays every week, I'm back with the Hour of Truth. This week, we're starting an exciting new series that's going to deal with Article 5 of the United States Constitution, with why we need it, with what we need it to accomplish. We're going to have some guests in talking about that. We're going to try to get Lloyd Sloan to come along and talk about SRA. We'll talk about specific other amendments that are needed. So we'll have a series here on Article 5. I was talking about, I had started a series on the veto session It wasn't extremely popular. I'm sorry to say that, but it may be that it's not extremely popular because that's what everyone else is talking about, and I want to be anything but boring. I want to be anything but repetitious. And so I'm going to leave that behind. We're going to let everyone else talk about the veto session coming up and what the legislature needs or needs not do with the government. And we're going to talk about more pressing matters in my mind. And that is on Monday nights, we're going to talk about Article 5, what it is, how we get it done, and how we save our nation, our republic, using Article 5 of the Constitution of the United States. On Tuesdays, along comes Cynthia Davis. Now, if you've never heard Cynthia Davis, you've got to catch some of these shows. I mean, Cynthia Davis is thoughtful. She's smart. She is hilarious. She is so much fun to listen to. She's the whole package. I mean, she is thought-provoking entertainment. That's all I can say. I mean, this is entertainment, and it is also education. It is also support. It's also conservative politics at the best conservative politics can be. Wednesday nights, Lisa Payne Nager comes along, and Lisa's the culture vigilante, and she will talk a lot about Common Core. She'll talk a lot about Agenda 21. She'll talk a lot about how the very culture of our country is under attack, and she'll give you the conservative philosophy. She'll give you the conservative insights into where we ought to be and what is happening to attack what we'd ought to be. I've got some real exciting news here beginning in August, probably not the first week of August. We're going to have a new host on Thursday nights. I'm going to hold off on that. This is a guy you've heard of. It's a guy who's well known. It's a guy who is who's got the fortitude to take on the biggest and the best. I'm going to see if he won't join us on Monday night, so I'm going to hold off till we can get I would like to have a personal introduction. This is going to be one of the most exciting things that's happened in Missouri Grassroots Radio in a while. Not that we're not all exciting, myself and Cynthia and Lisa. But this guy is going to add a little heat to the mix. And we're looking forward to it. I am absolutely excited. Join me on Monday night, and we'll introduce this new hothead to the MGC Radio lineup. And then, of course, next Saturday, I'll be back with another edition of the Fair Tax Show. I believe we're going to have a special guest next Saturday to come along and help you get it, to kind of keep me company here in the studio while we go on with this. Okay, so tonight we've talked about what the fair tax is. We've talked about why it needs to be revenue neutral. We've challenged you to bring your proposal along. And let us know what the rates are on that proposal. Let us know what that proposal has to collect to be revenue neutral. We've talked about how we're going to expand the tax base with the fair tax. And we've invited you to bring your proposals along and show us how it expands the tax base. We've told you how the fair tax is going to stop taxing corporations and profits, and we've shown you examples in both real life and in theoretical study of how that philosophy is going to increase the tax base. We've invited you to bring your proposals along and show us what they do to increase the expansion of business in America. America, after all, is about business, isn't it? The free market economy, capitalism, it's about business, isn't it? So bring your tax proposals along. Bring your flat tax on, Ted. And let's see what it does to increase the desire for foreign companies to come to the United States to build their products and export them from the United States. But we began by talking about something that we're going to end talking about. The income tax is, by any definition, or the fair tax, I'm sorry, is, by any accepted definition, a flat tax. The more you spend, the samer you pay. The less you spend, the samer you pay. Using the real definition, the only definition in mathematics of progressive and regressive, where you draw a line on a graph and you label that with what you are taxing, and you draw another line and you label that with what the tax is, it doesn't matter what you spend, the line is flat. You pay 23%. You've got to get away from any, we spent a good deal of time in the first talking about how you've got to get away from any fixation, from any holy hold that you have on considering income as part of anything, of considering other people's income as part of anything. It's not. It leads you to a place where you finally can accept as moral the idea of taking money from one person and giving it to another person. Neither of those acts is moral. Neither of those acts is wise. Neither of those acts is not part of a self-destructive, proven self-destructive model of economics. It's time for a tax that's fair. It's time for a tax that considers the equality of mankind. It's time for a tax that's good for America, not bad for America. It's time for the fair tax. There's one way you're going to get it. Join us Monday night to find out what that is.
Missouri Grassroots Radio is brought to you by the Missouri Grassroots Coalition, a cooperative of independent Missouri groups whose aim is to restore constitutional government. Visit us at MissouriGrassrootsCoalition.org, check out our Facebook page, and follow us on Twitter. You can contact us anytime at info@MissouriGrassrootsCoalition.org. God bless and keep you till next time we meet.